Whatever happened to time? Do those of you of a certain age remember time? Time that was there for you to do something or do nothing? I remember as a kid coming home from school and finishing chores and then having some hours of nothing that I needed to fill. I could go off into the woods. I could grab a shovel and turn an ancient mound of dirt into a fort. I could walk down to the railroad bridge and cast a lure and hope for a nice snapper blue or three. Time just to play, not play dates. Scheduled, planned, supervised. No, just play. Whatever happened to time? There is never enough now. Not just for kids, even more so for adults. My dad and I used to have time together. He and I used to drive after work. He would come, drive home, bring me back to the Navy base, and we would play a couple hours of racquetball. Or we would take the canoe out for a few hours and catch a few crabs for dinner. On a weekday. Really? Now no one plays. Adults don't play racquetball anymore. I'm working on my backhand. You can't say, I'm going to go play tennis, right, Bob? Sometimes. Working on my this. Because play is a forbidden word. Play is irresponsible. Play means you're not busy all the time. Whatever happened to time? When Vermonters greet each other and ask, how are you doing? There are two acceptable answers. One is fine, and by the tone, you either know it is or is not the truth. But when they say fine, it means they don't really want you to ask the next question. It's not really, how are you? Unless you're the pastor, because you're paid to do that. The other acceptable answer is busy. Any other answer is considered emotionally or morally suspect. Whatever happened to time? No one has enough. Some of you are working two jobs or three or juggling kids and work. But even if we only have one job or if we are retired, most of us feel crunched for time as though time were the enemy rather than a resource. A recent survey revealed that the greatest stress on families is not the threat of alcohol or drugs or people of uncertain gender in your bathroom. It is the lack of time. Time to be together. Time to enjoy one another. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Nadia Boltz-Weber shared that in 1965, there was a Senate subcommittee that formed to respond to the vast developments in technology that were increasing productivity to such a level that they were concerned that given the increase in productivity per worker, that within 20 years, there would likely only be a 15 to 20 hour work week. And then what in the world would the US workforce do when it was so bored? Maybe that's why they invented commercial television. I don't know. But that's right. The U.S. Senate in 1965 thought that by now there would be so much free time that we would not know what to do with it. And that would be a social crisis. How's that working out for you? Didn't happen. And as Nadia snarkily adds, we didn't get our jetpacks either. Whatever happened to time? There is never enough. There is never a break. And so here we are midway through the second decade of the 21st century. It was supposed to be the Jetsons. And rather than being unsure of what to do with all our free time, we are tired, we are frantic, we are sleep deprived, and we are always, always, always on call with our wonderful smartphones, where everyone can always get hold of us any time. Whatever happened to time? This may be strong language, but the answer is, it was stolen. It was stolen by a system that won't pay a worker what her productivity is worth, so she has to work a job or a job and a half or two jobs, especially if she's a single mom. Or we gave it away in exchange for reputations, smartphones, and watching, binge watching Breaking Bad. Or what, Game of Thrones now, yes? Just one? Okay. But here's the thing. We can take it back. We can take it back. We can take time back. And in fact, we are asked to. In fact, we are commanded to take back time by the author of time itself. It's in the Bible and everything. It's called Shabbat, Sabbath. The seventh day, a time away, a time set apart, and according to the Bible, it is part of the very fabric of creation. And I think it is key to regaining sanity in our relationship with time. I think it's key in healing our relationship with time and with ourselves, and with the world, and with others, and with God. You see, in the Bible, Sabbath is a pretty big deal. A much bigger deal than the people who are telling us what is supposed to be a big deal but really isn't in the Bible. Sabbath first shows up in the first week of creation, in the second chapter of Genesis, in the beginning, where God rested on the seventh day. Now, that doesn't mean God was tired or exhausted. God's like omni-everything. Fatigue was not the issue. But God took a metaphorical step back to look at creation and say, this is good. This is very good. Remember that point. It will come up again. Sabbath shows up again in the Ten Commandments. Twice, in fact. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Once, because God rested on the seventh day, and so should you. And by the way, your family and your servants and your animals. If only we could get the cows to do that. Oh, they have robots, right, so you can't have Sabbath. That's right. And then at another time, and the reason you're supposed to take Sabbath is because y'all were slaves in Egypt. You know what it was like to never have a day off. So make sure everyone gets one, including your servants and the alien residing in your midst. Shabbat, Sabbath, shows up 171 times in the Bible. It's a pretty big deal. But man, if there's a commandment we are okay with blowing off, that one's it. It may be coveting our neighbor's ass or car or whatever it is. That's what it says. That's what it says. Please, I'm just being biblical. But Sabbath has a public relations problem. At best, it sounds hopelessly old-fashioned. And at worst, it sounds legalistic and picayune and puritanical. A list of do not do, list of forbiddens. I want you to think back, or at least imagine, your grandma talking about Sabbath. What did she say you could and could not do?
Couldn't run around. We couldn't play cards.
Couldn't play cards.
Couldn't go to the movies.
Couldn't do anything. So when you hear Sabbath, you go, rest, yay. No, you go, ugh. This is going to be a horrible, no good, awful day. Sabbath means don't have fun. Ugh. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says take a full day, sundown to the next sundown, and rest. Look at the creation and say, this is good. This is very good. What can we do to just be in it? And if that means run around, run around. And if that means play cards, well, sure, but make sure you do it outside at least. In Vermont. Well, okay. 3 months a year. 1 month a year. Have fun. Rest. Worship. Sabbath is a time apart. You have 6 days where you are called to be productive. Make things. Organize things, improve things, grow things, design, alter, help, heal. 6 days to make the world a better place than you found it. Which is a great job description for all of us. 6 days to make your work a better place than you found it. Your family a better place than you found it. Yourself a better human than you found it. Be busy, be productive, do all you can do to help, to do justice, do mercy, have compassion, work for peace. 6 days to reshape creation in order, responsibly, in order to serve the needs of humanity and the rest of the planet. Whether you are a doctor or a nurse or a carpenter or a teacher or a toy maker or a parent or a friend or a maple sap producer. But take one day to not have to do that. Sabbath is not a burden. Sabbath is a gift. That's what Jesus meant when he said that Sabbath is made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. It means it's a gift of rest simply to be, not a measure, a rule of holiness to say, we're more holy than you, we're better than you because I didn't light a fire today, or I didn't play cards today, or I didn't dance or go to the movies, or whatever else your grandparents said was the way it was supposed to be. A hymn that we find, Come and Find the Quiet Center, has this wonderful line, finding scope for faith to enter. Do you guys know what scope is in this? I think what they're talking about is a nautical term, and scope is how much anchor line you let out. If you just let your anchor down straight down, and the wind comes up, it'll pull out and you're bye-bye. You need to put out about 7 to 1 scope. If it's 10 feet of water, you need to put out 70 feet of line, and the anchor will hold through just about anything. I think 7 to 1 is a real good ratio. Now, we're not going to get a whole lot of value in turning Sabbath into a bunch of do's and don'ts. If we're going to be taking Sabbath seriously, we might not want to take it literally. But there are some guidelines that are pretty crucial. Sabbath is a time apart in order, as God did on the seventh day, to just let the world be the way it is and say, this is good. We decide the world for one day is as fine as it is without me having to fix anything, acquire anything, manipulate anything. Just appreciate it as a gift. Enjoy it. Love it. Give thanks for it. So I'm going to put you on the spot. How would you do that? How would you celebrate creation as it is if you had a day with nothing you had to do?
Jump in my garden.
Jump in the garden. Get your hands dirty.
I can remember when the stores were closed on Sundays.
Yep. Yep.
It was a store, it was quite an emergency grocery store or something, but
But what would you do today? What would you do?
Go biking all day?
Go biking all day?
Hiking.
Oh, hiking, yep. Hiking all day?
I would plan not to drive my car.
You would plan not to drive your car? Unless it was to go hike or something. Or maybe not even that. And in fact, in the Hebrew scriptures, travel over a certain distance was considered work. And so we're not going to work. We're not going to go far. Thank you. For whom else? What else?
Read.
Would read.
Family and
hang out with family and friends.
Read the whole New York Times
from beginning to end. Being out in creation, being with yourself, with the New York Times, or with others. Here's the thing, is our culture has grabbed onto that language and twisted it in order to sell you stuff. You deserve a break today. You're worth it. When you're going to be by yourself, don't do it in a self-improvement way on Sabbath. Just celebrate who you are right now. Now, Sabbath is not a day to learn a new language, right? To become an expert at calculus, or a day to lose 10 pounds. That would be great, though, wouldn't it? But to celebrate who you are as a child of God right now. God loves me as I am. God takes care of me as I am. Even if I don't know how, God does. Be with others just as they are. You can have one day a week where you don't wipe your grandchild's chin. One day where you don't tell your son to stand up straight. What's that? That's right, one day to say that. Be with others so they're not a project. This is important for husbands and wives too, just saying. Be with another, not to change another, but just to be with another. For the next 4 weeks, I want us to explore a little bit about how we can start taking Sabbath seriously, learning how to be, just be, with ourselves, with each other, with the world, and with God. We're going to look at each of those levels each week. Because I think if we rediscover Sabbath, I think we will rediscover a new way of being with ourselves and with each other and with the world and with God. When Barb was voraciously reading the New York Times this week, she noticed an article by David Brooks, who's a political commentator, and I often don't agree with him on any number of things. But sometimes he is so right on, and this week was one of those. Now, the article was lamenting a certain development in presidential politics that I don't need to go into. But what he said was, what we need to be doing is looking for and at the people who are making a difference. The people who are not out to take advantage, the people who are not out to take power, the people who are not saying they have all the answers, follow me, but people who simply want to make the world a better place. And there are people like that that I know. We all try to be. We all try to be those people who makes the world a better place every day. But there are some folk I know who just do it so much more smoothly than I do. And June's like, oh yeah. I've got some clergy friends who I just watch how they do it and I'm like in awe. Now, they might be faking it really, really well, but what they put out is this sense of non-franticness and a quiet joy. And you can see in their ministry that they are responsive to the world around them. They seem to wake up asking, okay, God, what's my job to do in the world today? And they get an answer and they go out and they do it, and they celebrate the joys, and they are responsive to the needs, and it's awesome. And I always go, I feel like I'm running around like a chicken without a head. And I think a part of that is I don't have a Sabbath. I don't do it. I don't plan my week well enough that I can create a space from a sundown to a sundown where I can do nothing but be, because I've got 17 things I didn't get done that week that I really needed to, so I better do it now. Celebrate the joys, respond to the needs. We would be better at both of those if we took Sabbath. To live less frantically by creating Sabbath. To live more joyfully because we make a space for Sabbath. And to live more responsively the other 6 days of the week because we've made space for Sabbath. Sabbath can make us be more and more the people that David Brooks was talking about who are out there making a true difference in the world. We can make the world a better place by taking a day away from making the world a better place. Does that... the irony! You can make the world a better place by taking one day away from doing that very thing. Sabbath is a time apart to be able to say, oh, I'm not in charge. God is ultimately in charge. And then when we start back up on the first day of the week, we do it as a recreation, fresh and ready to make a difference with imagination and energy and love and joy. We have given ourselves to a culture that demands that we are either doing, producing, or consuming and being distracted. That's the only things we're good for in this culture. We got to make things for people to consume, or we got to be consuming things that other people are making. And if we can, let's be distracted the entire time so we won't cause trouble for those on the top of the pyramid. Sabbath is a time apart to rest, reflect, and give thanks. It's a gift that God has given us. It is a gift of time, a rhythm to life. of work, of labor, of creation, and rest, and thanksgiving, and quiet. So I invite you to join me in finding this rhythm, or regaining this rhythm that says, I am not defined nor solely shaped by a corporate clock or my responsibilities or my actions, but my simply being a child of God. To one day a week move from being a human doing to a human being. Join me in discovering Sabbath for the next 4 weeks to discover the simple blessedness of being a child of God. Amen.